Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to the Watchman on the Wall radio program with your host, Radio Shepherd. The Watchman on the Wall radio broadcast is a ministry of Love Remnant Tabernacle Church. Good afternoon, dear saints, and welcome to the broadcast, Watchman on the Wall. And I'm so glad you tuned in, and I'm overjoyed any time that you tune in to listen to the broadcast provided to you by Love Remnant Tabernacle Church. Well, today we're going to consider Isaiah chapter 62, verse 1. It's one of those powerful scriptures that reminds us of the church's need to always be staffed with men and women of prayer. In fact, I would argue, dear saints, that this is the church's number one need. The church's number one need is not to open up any more Bible schools. It's not to open up in fact, any more churches. I would argue that the church doesn't need any more preachers. It doesn't need any more bishops. It doesn't need any more prophets. It doesn't need any more prophetess. It doesn't need any more dance groups. I would argue from the scriptures that we don't need any more talent shows, and we don't need any image creators in the church. We don't need any more of those people. I would argue that we could do like Gideon. Remember when Gideon was asked by the Lord to raise up an army to go fight the Midianites, and then Gideon made the call, and I mean, people came out of the woodworks to come and serve with Gideon on the battlefield. And the Lord said to Gideon, "You have too much. You have too much. You have too many men. In fact, let's start to whittle down. Let's start to whittle down your army. You just have too much." So I would argue that we're in the same situation today. We have far too many bishops. And we have far, and let me put it this way, let me qualify that. We have far too many worthless bishops. And we have far too many worthless doctors. You know how the church, I mean, this person is doctor this and that other person is doctor that, and let's invite Dr. So-and-so to come and minister to. I would argue, having been a person who has been involved in Christian academics all of my ministerial life, I would argue that we have too many worthless doctors and too many people with worthless PhDs. And too many people with worthless masters of divinity. I would argue that we have too many worthless prophets. We have too many worthless prophetess. We have far too many worthless evangelists. We have far too many worthless conference speakers. We can start telling them to go back home. We can tell them, go back home. The church's number one need today is not to elevate one more person. I would argue that the church's number one need today is to be staffed, to have the church staffed with men and women of prayer. I would argue that. We have too many talkers. We have too many people wanting to talk to the crowd. We have too many people wanting, chomping at the bit to talk to the multitudes. We have too many people chomping on the bit, wanting an opportunity to get behind the pulpit. And we have far too little people wanting to talk to God in the prayer closet. And I would thus argue that because we don't have enough people in the prayer closet and far too many people in the pulpit, this is why we are in the trouble that we are in. We are in deep trouble as a people. In this hour, we are a people in deep trouble. So if you would consider your outline, the title of my message today is the church's number one need, and that is to be staffed with men and women of prayer. My text today comes to you from Isaiah 62, verse 1, where the prophet Isaiah says, "For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof burneth as a lamp." To outline. And let's consider the introduction for the moment. The introduction states the impatient prophet Isaiah takes his place among the great men and women of prayer of yesteryear. The impatient prophet Isaiah takes his place among the great men and women of prayer of yesteryear. You see, Isaiah is bothered by what he sees. He sees a church in his day spinning its wheels. Isaiah sees a church spinning its wheels, yet God has prophesied so much glory about this church. Isaiah sees a contradiction. He sees God using him to prophesy that the church will be glorious. Yet when Isaiah looks at the present condition of the church, he sees her in a rut. He sees her spinning her wheels. He sees the church not fulfilling its potential. And this is what causes Isaiah to become impatient. This is what causes Isaiah to join the ranks of great men and women of yesteryear who prayed the church into glory. My brothers and sisters, as we look at the church today, we can look and we can cry. I am heartbroken over the condition of the church today. I have sleepless nights. I suffer from insomnia when I look at what has the church of our Lord become today in this apostate age. It grieves me. It grieves me to see what the church has become, despite the fact that God has prophesied glorious things by means of the prophets, by means of Jeremiah, by means of Daniel, by means of Malachi, by means of Isaiah, by means of Ezekiel, by means of Isaiah himself. God has prophesied glorious things for the church, yet when we look at the church, she's feeble, she's weak, she's lost her way, she is sickly, she is blind, she is naked, just like Jesus said to the church of Laodicea. It breaks my heart, and it should break your heart. I know it grieves the Holy Spirit. It grieves the Holy Spirit to see the church in the condition that she is today. And this is why Isaiah says, consider what Isaiah says. He says, for Zion's sake, for the church's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. I won't rest until she becomes everything God said she would be. Saints, we don't need any more preachers. I'm telling you, listen, a day like tomorrow, Sunday, our pulpits are going to be filled with preachers delivering all kinds of messages. But sadly, people will leave the churches the same way they came in. Why? Because those sermons, those words from the Lord, supposedly those messages called the word of the Lord, or I've got a rhema word for you today, as the preachers will say, they're not backed by prayer. They're empty sermons. They are powerless sermons. Do you know that prior to Isaiah writing or beginning to pen chapter 62, Isaiah had already prophesied 61 times. I mean, Isaiah had done his share of prophesying. And Isaiah was only joining a group of prophets that had already been prophesying long before him. And yet, look at the condition of the church. Such was the condition of the church in Isaiah's day that it moved him to say, for Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. I won't. You know, if you're like me, if you're suffering from insomnia, and I'm not suffering for insomnia because I have personal problems. That's not why I'm suffering from insomnia. I'm not suffering from insomnia because, you know, they're going to repossess my car and I'm going to lose my home. That's not why I'm losing sleep. I am losing sleep because the church is losing ground. I am losing sleep because my heart aches. Because the bride of Christ has gone a-whoring after other gods. My heart breaks because the men and women who today prophesy to the church are false prophets. And she receives, the church receives those false prophets openly and embraces them. And yet, she turns around and rejects the true prophet of God. Saints, that's why my heart breaks. And like Isaiah, I too am impatient to see. I want to see the church enter her full glory. I want to see the church be all that God said she would be. But it's not going to come by me teaching anymore or by me preaching anymore. It's going to come only if the church is staffed with men and women who will humble themselves in the sight of God. For God said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. You see, folks, the church is in trouble. But it's in trouble because people are not praying. We're doing everything but praying. You know, a couple of years ago, a couple of decades ago, the church was up in arms. The church was up in arms because the government had decided to take prayer out of school. Who's up in arms today about the devil taking prayer out of the church? Haven't you noticed? Two decades ago, the church was beside itself. Because the United States government and the Supreme Court had ruled to take prayer out of school. But as you can see, saints, the devil has taken prayer out of the church. And who is in an uproar? Few. And it's because we're not praying, and it is because instead of praying, we are playing, that we find ourselves in the impoverished condition that we are. Oh, we may be rich. We may be rich with mega buildings. Our mega churches, we have mega buildings and mega campuses. Oh, we have campuses everywhere. Oh, the church is filthy rich. But it's not rich in power. Because it's not rich in relationship with God. How can we turn this thing around? How can we turn it around? Number one. Isaiah prays for Jerusalem and Zion's sake. Notice, folks, Isaiah is not praying for his personal situation. Isaiah's not praying for a new car. He's not praying for a new home. He's not praying for his personal breakthrough. Isaiah's not praying for a promotion on the job. Isaiah's not praying for elevation. Notice. Isaiah is not a selfish preacher. Isaiah is selfless in that now he is consumed. He is zealous to pray over the church. What do we need? We need for men and women to be selfish, not selfish. We have too many selfish preachers. We have too many selfish prophets. We have too many selfish bishops who are only praying for their own breakthrough, for their own enrichment, for their own aggrandizement, for their own glory, and could care less about the glory of the church. Isaiah says, I will pray, but it's not for me. I will pray, but it's not for my wife. I will pray, and it's not for my kids. I will pray for Zion's sake. I will pray for Jerusalem's sake. In other words, I'm going to pray for the church. I'm going to lose myself in prayer, but I'm just going to pray for the church. That's what we need today. The number one need in the church today is for men and women to lose themselves in prayer. for the church. Point number two, Isaiah will pray until Zion's righteousness shines as the brightness of dawn. If you look at Isaiah 62, verse 1, he says, for Zion's sake I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness. Haven't you noticed that there's no more righteousness in the church? There's no more right living. Haven't you noticed? Doesn't that grieve you? Doesn't it grieve you? That righteousness is at its lowest in the church. There's no more right living. When was the last time you heard a message about living right before the Lord? The church is filled with unrighteousness, with people who have an unrighteous lifestyle. And they're playing the organ, and they're leading worship, and they're preaching, and they're making the announcements. My brothers and sisters, what's on the rise, what is brightly shining in the church is not right living, but wrong living. All that is good is called evil now in the church, and all that is evil in the church is called good. And that bothered Isaiah. That troubled Isaiah. That kept Isaiah up at night. The very fact that the church had no concept of righteousness, that the church was no longer preaching, live right, that the church was no longer saying, be ye holy, saith the Lord, for I am holy. On the contrary, sin is no longer touched in the church. Unrighteousness is on the rise, and few are bothered. As Paul says to the Corinthian, as he said to the Corinthian church, aren't you bothered? Don't you know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Saints, today the church has been completely leavened in sin, and no one's bothered. And Isaiah says, I will pray that Zion once again will return to the kind of preaching that will promote righteousness. That righteousness will shine as the brightness of the dawn or the brightness of a new day. Oh, there needs to be a new day in the church. But it's a new day that is springing up because righteousness is on the rise. Thirdly, if you look at your outline, Isaiah prays and promised to pray until Zion's salvation is in full swing. He goes on to say, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake will I not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as the brightness and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. You know that Zion today is experiencing few deliverances? Do you know that Zion today is really experiencing few breakthroughs? You know that less and less people in the church today are getting saved? Haven't you noticed that the conversions are fewer? That the baptisms are less than what they used to be? That few people are having the chains of sin broken in their lives? That few people are becoming unshackled? That few people are experiencing salvation in Christ? The reason for that is because the prophet has already taught us. The prophet Isaiah already taught us that as soon as Zion would travail, she would bring forth her children. Zion, the church, is not travailing in prayer. Thus, she cannot bring forth her children. Therefore, Zion's salvation is not in full swing. It is not like a lamp that burneth. That sentence, that phraseology is very interesting. Because it reminds us, it points, you see that phrase where it says, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth, it reminds us of the burning bush. You see, Israel was in bondage, but as soon as Moses saw the burning bush, as soon as the burning bush was burning like a lamp fully lit, That's when Moses went to Egypt and said to Pharaoh, the Lord has said, let my people go. You see, this whole idea about Zion's salvation being as a lamp that burneth means that God is sending revival. God is about to do something new. God is about to do something spectacular. God is about to do something miraculous because God is on fire for the church. But God only gets on fire if we're on fire. The so-called prophets in the church today will tell you that you can activate God by getting on a line and sowing $1,000. But I say unto you, that's falsehood. The way you activate God is by getting on your knees and calling upon the name of the Lord. This is why the church's number one need is for her to be staffed with men and women who would pray. Watchmen on the wall is what we need in this hour. And this is why Isaiah says, I'm going to do something about the church's condition. I will pray. I will not hold my peace. And I will give myself no rest until the church becomes everything that she becomes, until the church is living right again, until the church is experiencing breakthrough every moment of every day. Will you join me, dear saints, in the weeks to come? Will you join me in prayer? Will you join me in this most holy assignment in seeking God that he would turn his church around? I pray that you do. You can do so by tuning in every Saturday as I bring to you this broadcast, Watchmen on the Wall. Each week, I'll have a rhema word from the Lord for you to stir you up to be a watchman on the wall, to be an intercessor in this hour, to be a prayer warrior in this hour, to be a prophet and a prophetess in this hour. Join me as we come together to seek God that he may turn his church's situation around. I want to close today's broadcast with the hymn, Send the Light. Send the light, oh Lord. Oh Lord, our prayer is, let revival start with us. Start revival with us. Start the flame with us. And send the light to the world. God bless you.